Okay, right. Yes, you join us today. Starting off a bit of a mini series on Summer Psalms. I'm going to start with Psalm 62. So I think in the 3 years I've been part of the church, most of you have worked out who I am. If not, and if you're a visitor, I'm Ben. I'm a structural engineer, married with 3 children. That's enough for me. Let's get on with the psalm. Let's try this on. Is it going to work? Way. Okay. No, that's too far. Brilliant. Psalm 62, which I've got a bit of a summary there. In life's most threatening times, you'll find peace in God if He alone is your salvation and refuge. It's an account of David's confidence during some trials that he had. So let's just have a look at this, read it through. Reading from the New Living Version today. There we go, Psalm 62. I wait quietly before God, for my salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I'll never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They're friendly to my face, but they curse me in their hearts. I wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in Him at all times. Put your heart to Him. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. A slight different thing here. From the greatest to the lowliest, all are nothing in His sight. If you weigh them on the scales, they are lighter than a puff of air. Don't try to get rich by extortion or robbery. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I've heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to You. Unfailing love, O Lord, is Yours. Surely You judge all people according to what they have done. So there we go. So, just going to break this down to sort of three little sections. We've got the first section, verses 1 to 4, where it's David's talking about being calm in threatening times. So the context of the psalm, it's broadly thought that David in this time, there's Absalom's rebellion. So he's got his son Absalom, has seen David as king. He's seen people kind of coming into the courts and seeing David and getting wisdom from him, and David administering justice and all the stuff that's linked up with that. And Absalom's gone, actually, I fancy a piece of that. And actually, Absalom goes and gets the various kind of nobles and landowners, just a lot of people on his side, and he goes, right, I'm going for David, I'm going to have him. And this event ultimately is unsuccessful. Absalom ends up hanging from a tree with 3 spears in his chest for his troubles. So all this is going on whilst David is writing the psalm. So hopefully in the things that we kind of go about doing in our daily basis, we're not going to have anyone in that kind of situation where the people's actually kind of threatening to kill us to sort of take our job or position. But the Bible doesn't promise they'll be free from attack if we're going about our Christian walk or if we're in any kind of leadership position. It only tells us what we can do when there are trials, what we can do when there are various troubles. David begins quietly with this psalm. Another translation, he says, My soul waits in silence for God only. I was looking up a commentary on this, and the sense of silence here is composed submission of the believer, where he accepts the promises of God, gives place to his word, bows to his sovereignty, and suppresses every inward murmur of dissatisfaction. That's what David is doing, and I think David can do that because of the depth of his relationship he's got with God. That is probably easier said than done to kind of to do all of that. But it's a great try and do that. So that's where we find David. He doesn't actually, in the whole psalm, he doesn't make a single kind of prayer or petition. There's no kind of, grant me this, Lord, grant me that. He's silent, he's waiting for God. And his confidence is in him. And he's just waiting for God to act. He's not panicked, he's not rushed. He's got this absolute and unshakable confidence in God. When we have trials in our lives, we have a choice. We can either grumble or complain to God, or we can submit to God and trust in him, trust in his promises and his timing. We've had our fair share of trials recently, and this kind of goes partly hand in hand with the Christian walk in the developing walk of faith. By no means we're a special case, but actually it's been quite hard. Started with a couple of guys in the church bringing prophecies about various storms coming and being buffeted around, but to actually make sure that my foundation was in God. Otherwise, the storms might take me out. So I sort of took heed of that. Some of these things have come to pass. There's been situations where could have lost our car, could have lost where we lived. My job was in danger at one point. But we've come through all of that. I have to admit that there's times in all of that that I could have found myself grumbling and complaining to God a bit. Saying, oh, it's not fair, I've got a right to this. So I sort of preach to myself as much as you guys to not grumbling to God. By no means am I a finished article. I certainly feel that God's working in our lives just slowly but surely kind of making me and moulding me to be more Christ-like. At times, yes, I felt like that tottering fence that David speaks of. There's times when I've just wanted it all to kind of go away. As David says in Psalm 55, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and rest. Well, we've just been looking at Jonah. Didn't work out so well for him when he tried to fly away on the boat, did it? I'm thankful that I haven't had it quite as bad as Job. So humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God is a key element in experiencing God's peace when you're under attack or difficulty. Just going to give a brief example of a time when I just knew God's peace in a very challenging situation. This was about when Erin was born. So she was born just before Christmas 2010. So slightly trying labour, where Jen had been labouring for 3 days, and ultimately it kind of Erin wasn't kind of coming out very well, and it was all getting a bit sort of too much. And the consultant came in and said, right, that baby needs to come out now, cesarean section. And all of a sudden I'm in this delivery suite, and all these people rush around Jen, and wallop, out everyone goes on a trolley, and I'm just there in this room that's now very empty. I'm thinking, okay. Some things I do know about, I'm quite handy at pub quizzes. I've got, various knowledge on different things. Medical matters, I know nothing. I'd have been absolutely, completely helpless and clueless if I had tried, going into the operating theatre. So I'm just there. At the time, I was part of a choir, and we'd been doing some Christmas carols and things. And somebody's there, just alone. What do? I just start singing. Start singing some proper good old carols, you know, things like Very God, Begotten, Not Created, just stuff that just really kind of speaks of who God is and his character and his nature, and just God brought this peace about the situation. And I just thought, actually, yeah, God's given us this daughter, or, you know, it's, I'm at peace about this, not panicked. And then a little while later, you know, little knock on the door, and someone comes and says, all right, do you want to come and meet your daughter? She's just down here. And yeah, it was just a really sort of just a peaceful moment in, you know, humanly you could understand if I had gone, oh no, panic, ah, what am I going to do, you know? But just God just brought this peace and just really settled the situation. And it's been peaceful ever since. Yeah, perhaps that's not true. So, second section, verses 5 to 8. Again, David's talking about sort of calmness and so, yeah, it's good to know truths about God and to speak them out loud to build yourself up. And you see David doing this a bit in this section. At one point, David is saying, my soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is in him. And we see this talking to your soul elsewhere in the Psalms. Psalm 43:5 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why is so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet know, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. But it's a great way to remind ourselves of God, who God is, what he is like, what he has done, and what he's promised to do. You see David sort of slowly building up where he's at in the psalm. He starts off waiting quietly, and then he's talking about not being shaken, and then he kind of moves on to being in the refuge. He's unmovable, he's untouchable, unshakable, nothing's going to get to him. David refers a lot to God directly here, and he refers to God using him and his. He just, and this comes out of a depth of knowledge that David's got, that he kind of, he knows God that well. It just speaks of this, yeah, this the depth of relationship. And that's what we need when we have various trials and difficulties too. We need to know that depth of relationship with God. It doesn't just work if you say, oh yeah, God is my rock, as some kind of abstract concept or an academic exercise. You need to really deeply know that. So David's under attack, and he's taking the time to think about all these things. He's saying, God is my rock and my salvation, therefore I will not be shaken. What he's not saying is, God is my rock and my salvation. Now, here's a better plan. He's waiting to God, waiting for God to sort it all out. You know, it's no good for us to, when trials and difficulties come along, give a sort of a nod of trust to God. Okay, yeah, this has come along. Okay, God, we trust in you. Okay, right, that's how we're going to do this then? Yeah, it doesn't work like that. I've learnt this in a couple of different ways. This is very much a learning process to me. In the past, I've been too dependent on my own strength. I've always been quite a decent size. I can remember being, even in like reception class at school, I was one of the tallest, and then going all the way through up to, I was doing my A-levels, I was the tallest in a year. And I always thought, actually, yeah, I could, any kind of situation, I can use my own strength, I can, you know, get out of this somehow. But eight years ago, I was at a part of a stag do with some friends of mine, and we were doing these sumo suits. We kind of wrestle and put these huge big kind of comedy sumo suits on and try and bounce each other out the ring. And I was sort of, by some margin, the sort of biggest, strongest guy there, and I felt invincible. I was just bouncing people out the ring, left, right and centre. Then the next day, I found myself in the Leicester Royal Infirmary with a fractured dislocation of my humerus, this bone here, after having an accident on a scaffold board. Suddenly, I wasn't quite so invincible. And in another way, I've been too dependent on my own strength before for provision. You know, a bill's coming or something, and it's like, oh, God, please provide. I haven't got time for this. Let's, you know, stick it on credit. And, yeah, God's been taking us through on a journey on that to actually go, right, just get rid of all of that. Let's actually really depend on God in that way. Like I said, it's still work in progress, but going in the right direction. Once we've experienced trials as sort of Christians in this way, it's important to encourage others going on various different trials. It's no good to say, oh, it'll be all right, mate, here's a pat on the back, off you go. That doesn't quite work. It's you need to say, oh, yeah, actually, all right, I've been there. I know how this feels. This is how good, you know, God met my needs. This is how God took me through this. This is how God was my rock in this situation. An example of this was slightly earlier in the year, when we were trying to move house. Shirley was messaging Jen on Facebook, as her and Bruce had similar circumstances in the past with trying to find houses and things. And a couple of extracts. Shirley said to Jen, God will provide. He won't let you down. Keep your eyes on him. Situations like this cause us to trust in God in a new and fresh way, as well as challenging us. It enables him to grow in him. Enables us to grow in him. That's brilliant stuff. So we're... an excellent example there. And just moving on to the final section. We can trust in God, but don't put our trust in various riches or ways of men, but trust in the power of, trust in the God of power and love. I was thinking about this section. I sort of brought to mind one of my favourite Christian hip-hop songs from the 1990s. Whilst planning this, I was half tempted to perform part of the rap, but in the interest of keeping my dignity, I'll perhaps save that for a talent show later on. But it was just... there was this particular song by Grits. It was a song about people trying to get rich, not always by honest means, ignoring God's plans for their lives. Everything might look wonderful. Yeah, you can live life like a modern-day fairy tale. Everything is lovey-dovey till your plans fall through. They all fall down. They all fall down. They all fall down. They all fall. Okay, a bit of a rap. Sorry for that. But that's the thing with man and his plans. They can come crashing down at any moment. You know, no doubt there's a number of people in today's Sunday papers that have had things exposed about them, and suddenly it's just, it's all come, you know, tumbling down. Be it kind of, you know, athletes that have been doping and suddenly they're exposed and medals have got to go back and things. But is God like that? Do his plans fall down? I don't think so. Imagine if you can, and imagine your seesaw. I'm just going to bring it out. Here we go. Let's put this seesaw down here. Right. So we've got a couple of things that the psalm talks about. We've got men being like a breath of air. So we've got a cubic metre of air here. Let me just... get that out. That's not too heavy, actually. That's a cubic metre of air. That's about 1.3 kilograms. So let's put that down there. Here we go. And the other thing we can put our trust in is God, which is referred to as a bit of a rock. So I might struggle with this one. Cubic metre of rock is 2,200 kilograms per metre. So you can kind of see, you know, got the weight of a bag of flour versus the weight of a Bentley Continental GT with a V8 engine. Okay, but you can. It's much better to trust God, put our trust and plans in Him. yeah, who are you going to put your trust in? If you don't remember anything from what I said this morning, try and remember this. I was once with a pastor, and he just kind of made a throwaway comment, and he said to me, "Ben, what's the one word that God never uses?" And I thought, I don't know. there's probably more than one right answer to this, but the line he went down, he said, God never says, whoops. God's never fazed by anything. You know, he wasn't fazed when we found out we had to move. he didn't go, oh no, Ben and Jen, they're going to be, oh no. You've got the God of all power, the God who marked off the dimensions of the world, the God who holds storehouses of snow, the God who controls lightning bolts and sends them out and they report back to him, here we are. That's our God. God never goes, oh no, here's a situation, oh, whoops, oh no. God's never panicked. He's unshakable and unmovable. God never says, whoops. Try and remember that one. So the psalm ends positively saying, pretty much trust in the God of love and power, knowing that he will reward all that he will reward for all that you do. Let's finish off. Know this: God is powerful, God is loving, and he's bigger than any trial that you're facing. And that's pretty much all I've got to say. Serve a big God, and he's in it with us. Is that okay to finish there? Yeah. Okay. I'll hand over to Peter.